Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I can hear my voice just wanting to quit.
You're sounding better as the days go along.
I feel like it varies. It just goes through like these peaks and valleys.
You're Brandon Ingram right now. You just got to work yourself back into
it. I guess that's all it is.
And hopefully, it's just not enough games for Brandon Ingram to work himself
back. That's what I hope. I hope Brandon Ingram gets right this summer.
That's right.
Beginning tomorrow night at about 9:30. Start working to get himself right.
All this talking about everything else that we're talking about.
Real quick.
Oh, okay. Real quick.
Yeah, real quick, because we got other business to tend to besides just telling you what station it's on. It's the station that's helping you win $500. Go to ESPN1320.com and enter the keyword swish. Enter the keyword swish right now at ESPN1320.com. That'll be your opportunity to win a $500 gift card. You'll see it. Nothing but net giveaway. It's right there on the front page. You won't miss it. You won't be confused. Absolutely nothing. ESPN1320.com. Enter the keyword swish for your chance to win.
Sounds like me. Well, I'm shooting.
Oh, swish. I just got a text. Gonna try to make it out to the show tomorrow.
Oh.
She ain't never been to one of our live shows before.
Wow.
She's never been to one of our live shows before.
Front row. She got to be front row.
She'd be on stage.
Facts.
I ain't going to spoil it because, you know, her fan club might come out to, like, see her, and then she don't show up. Oh, man, could be dicey. But, oh, yeah. We're going to have a good time tomorrow.
We are going to have a good time. And a lot of this stuff that, you know, I'm talking about, we're bringing up. Look, I'm just gonna keep it real. It's personal. It's personal. Because personally, I'm trying to keep myself calm right now.
Oh, for sure.
Because I'm charged up for tomorrow's game. I'm charged up. I'm more hyped about tomorrow's game than I was Tuesday. Now, obviously, that's probably because the playoffs are right there in your grasp. You win Tuesday, you still got more work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, for a lack of a better term, the work is done. The job's over. You made the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a chance. And I feel good about this team, man.
Yep.
I feel good about this team, about where they're at. And I really think, even aside from Zion and everything else like that, because that doesn't automatically guarantee you anything. That maybe presents different problems in some respect. But I just feel good about where they're at right now. I think they're also catching the Pelicans at a certain time. Andrew talked about something that is interesting.
Okay.
If the game is a little tight, if the situation is a little tight for New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
what does that look like? All the bravado and everything that they had all season going up against the Kings. If number one, the Kings are a different opponent this time and hanging in there with them or leading, does that factor into how they feel about themselves? Number two, just the way the last game played out where, you know, Ingram gets benched, wasn't sure about CJ. Does that play a factor? And then the historical thing where Andrew said only one other time has a team lost, I forgot exactly, but the two games at home
mm-hmm.
to lose the play-in.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure You know, we talk about that in the same way with the Kings, right? Where if things get tight, like you can feel the angst in the crowd, and that that sometimes seeps down to the players.
Yeah,
that could happen in New Orleans tomorrow.
Yeah, it absolutely could, and it's the unique this matchup, this particular second game is so unique in the sense that one team won their opportunity and the other team lost their opportunity. One team had to win to get to the point to play this game. Mm-hmm. The other team got to this game because they lost. Mm. And, yeah, what's the psychological mindset in that? We try to compute the play-in tournament to the NCAA tournament to other. There is no other tournament like this. Mm-hmm. Where a loser of a game plays a winner of the game. Maybe there's something in soccer or something that I'm not familiar with, but this is pretty unique. And yeah, you wonder what psyches are, mindsets are. You're not only dealing with the loss to the Lakers, in this case, we're obviously talking about the Pelicans. You're not only dealing with the loss to the Lakers, you're dealing with back-to-back losses to the Lakers. You're dealing with the loss of Zion Williamson, mm-hmm. who was absolutely phenomenal the last time he was on the floor. Mm-hmm. And you're dealing with, you know, two of your marquee players not playing well the last time they were out there. Your sports talk radio has been seeped in disappointment. Your sports talk radio has been missed opportunities. Mm. We're pissing off Mad Dog Russo because we're lighting the beam. Right, we're celebrating an opportunity to play this game. Mm-hmm. Now, that's us. What players are doing, that's a completely different conversation. Yeah. But this the state of mind for a game like this for the two teams involved is really, really unique to this specific game.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm going through that.
And I think you're 100% right, by the way, about moments of tenseness mm-hmm. seeping onto the floor in that arena if things aren't going the Pelicans' way.
I'm going through the brief, small history of play-in tournaments. This is only the fourth season of the play-in. But only one other time has a 7 seed, which is what New Orleans was, which means you got the home game. You got the home game with a chance to go. Only one other time has the 7 seed lost that game. That was last year with Miami. They got another chance against Chicago, and they had to battle back to get that one.
That's right.
That wasn't just a slam dunk, oh, we're the home seed, we're gonna play that game. And on top of that, Chicago was a 10 seed. So never before has the 7th seed played the second game against the 9 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is uncharted territory, for lack of a better term, about how the 7 seed, in this case New Orleans, handles losing at home
mm-hmm.
and being faced with the possibility of losing two straight to miss the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. And then you have the Sacramento Kings faced with losing to a team for the 6th time this year. It's what we talk about. It's what we were talking about with Andrew earlier. It's what we were talking about with Anthony. The different storylines, the different circumstances going into this game are so odd. Mm. They're unique.
Mm-hmm.
A 5-game set against the team is unique in and of itself because of the play-in tournament. Now you just happen to play that team in the play-in tournament mm-hmm. for the 6th time. I might have said the play-in tournament, the in-season tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're playing them in the play-in tournament. 6th time? It's uncharted waters. Like there's nothing to compare this to.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely nothing to compare this to.
Yeah, I'm hyped up though, man. I'm really hyped up. I think that, keep saying it, man. I just think they got a heck of a shot. I think they got a great shot. I think, and this flies
starts with defense.
Starts with defense and what you want to do with CJ. I think that's where everything starts. I think I think you'll get enough offense. I don't know if you're going to score 130 or something like that, mm-hmm. but I think you'll get enough offense to win if your defensive game plan is tight. If your game plan is tight and your execution is tight, I think you'll get enough offense between Fox, between Keegan, between Sabonis, between Keon at this point hitting. And hopefully, you know, Harrison gives us the same type of game. And either one of the two, just for argument's sake, Trey Lyles or Davion Mitchell gives you double figures. I think that'll be enough to get it done.
Offense leads to defense or defense leads to offense?
In this particular game, I would say defense leads to offense.
Okay.
Yeah. You get these stops, you get your scheme going, and you get these stops. And that's kind of what we saw, I think, on Tuesday.
You thought it was defense leads to offense?
Yeah, I thought the defense that they played and what they were able to do,
the stops they
were able to get led to what they were doing on the offense.
And it's probably semantics, but, like, I thought that them hitting shots is
quite
what.
Possibly.
But again, I don't know how you differentiate the two.
But it was like, stop, hit the three.
Stop, shut them down.
Stop, hit the three. And to your point, you hit the three, now you're ready to get back on defense.
Mm.
But you got to stop first so you could then go hit the three, mm-hmm. and now you're back. Like, it's a
again,
crazy
it's semantics.
Cycle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I think they started to breed confidence.
I think there's a certain level of pop. Yeah. With this particular team, mm-hmm. I think there's a certain level of – the pop is the only word I can think of. There's a certain level of increased intensity when
with this team though as well. I think they like playing defense. I think they got guys out there that like to defend. Well, I think
we certainly
Fox,
know someone who does.
Yeah, I think it's led by that man.
Yeah,
Keon likes to play defense, and mm-hmm. I think that's been infectious. I think De'Aaron Fox likes to play defense now that it's not all on his plate on the offensive end. I think when Davion gets in there, he knows the assignment. He knows what he's doing, and Keon, whether he shows it or not, I think he likes the idea of shutting down some of these smaller guys and locking them up. So I think they like playing defense right now. They know the assignment. They know where their bread is buttered.
I think De'Aaron is kind of nearing that. You know, I could get any shot I want to. Mm. I think he's nearing the, like, I could take the ball from you if I want to.
Man, that whole wraparound strip that he does. Like, I saw that two plays before it happened because he was guarding Wiggins, and I was, oh, you're going to rip him. You're going to rip him? I thought it was going to happen on that play.
Mm-hmm.
But when it didn't, I was like, oh, all right, yeah, keep bringing the ball up.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, like two plays later, he rips, and that's his signature right now.
Yeah.
And he's seeing it that way. He's seeing it like, oh, this guy kind of loose with the handle. Definitely going to take those cookies. Definitely.
We'll come back. Will Z is going to join us today. He can't be out at Sky River with us tomorrow to preview the game. So he's going to join us today. Of course, our friend Matt George is on his way to New Orleans, so we'll catch up with him next week. Will Z will join us, and we'll go over some of these stats that he's been posting online all day as we prepare for tomorrow's game against the New Orleans Pelicans. We'll deal with Casey return here on ESPN 1320.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bringing our man Will Z here.
What's up, you guys?
Will,
is
man.
Your TV on? What's that noise?
You picking up noise?
Yeah. That's all right, Will. He got his new microphone. He's got his light on. He's looking good. This man's cooking. He's the statty batty. Our man Will Z. Will, how are you feeling about tomorrow?
I'm excited. It's like you can, they've got nothing to lose, like you guys have been saying. So looking forward to it. Is that background noise better?
Oh yeah, you sound great now. It's fine.
Yeah, man. It's a situation where, you know, well, I don't look at it so much as they got nothing to lose, as they can really win. They can really salvage this season that's been so up and down with taking care of business and beating a team that I know has had your number, but I feel like you're playing them at the right time, not only for how what's going on with them, but what's going on with you when you talk about the Sacramento Kings. I think Tuesday was a big moment for them, you know, to not only beat the Warriors, but be able to finish a game. They had a big lead. They almost lost it again, you know, but they answered the bell and they were able to overcome that and right the ship, so to speak. And I thought that was big for them and their psyche and their belief in being able to win without a Malik Monk and all this other stuff. And I think they're going to be going into New Orleans riding high.
Yeah, especially with the injuries. Like, it feels like they have all the momentum where it's – I know that the Pelicans have the five games, but obviously with Zion being out and with Brandon Ingram coming back, it just feels like they've got way more to lose. And I love that for the Kings. I love how they're playing right now. They seem like they're ready for the moment. And especially against the Warriors, like, they came out from the get-go. Like, they knew what they had to do on both ends of the floor, and I thought it showed. So it'll be interesting to see how they defend the Pelicans without Zion. I think it's obviously much easier matchup. But with Zion out, I don't think we're going to see as many double teams. Like, we're not going to see Harrison Barnes on Valanciunas and that create double teams and let Trey Murphy and Herb Jones and everyone get those 3-point looks. Maybe they'll do the like Steph treatment to CJ and slow him down, in case anyone forgot, 70% shooting from three against the Kings this season. So I think slowing down CJ probably takes more precedence than slowing down Ingram, to me, just because of kind of the rhythm and the flow. So that goes well with where the Kings have their defensive strengths, which is at the guard position.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot today. Is just, I think they should defend, they have the same game plan for CJ that they have for Steph Curry. That's how I think they should go into this game and treat him like he's Steph Curry. Get the ball out of his hands when you can. Get multiple defenders around him and keep him from getting comfortable and in a rhythm in this game. And I think if you're able to do that, that'll go a long way to you winning this game.
And the key with that is the rotations. Like we saw, they were locked in on their defensive rotations against the Warriors. If you look at the wide open numbers, the Warriors only shot 13 wide open threes, 12 open, 7 tightly contested. That's a lot. Compared to the Kings, they shot 27, which just for reference. But when you're on point with those rotations after double teaming and blitzing off of screens, that's when they really become effective. If they're late on those rotations, that's when you get a big game from Trey Murphy, from Herb Jones, from Valanciunas on those little dump off passes. So I think that if they bring that same sort of everyone's locked in on every minute, which it looked like they had against the Warriors, I think that's when that game plan against CJ will really work.
We've talked, and rightfully so, a lot about what the Kings will do defensively against the Pelicans, but what about what the Pelicans do defensively against Sacramento? I think the Pelicans were, that was the 1-for-10 game, right?
For De'Aaron, yeah. The one in the middle of the series where they lost by 30 with no Zion. That's where De'Aaron was probably had his worst game as a pro.
Yeah, and like how much of what they do against Sacramento defensively is what's led us to this 0-5 point.
I think it's not a coincidence at all. Like, they have Herb Jones. He's the primary defender against De'Aaron Fox. And this season, when Fox has been guarded by Jones, 28 points, but on 40.7% from the field and 27.3% from three. He only has three assists. He has five turnovers. He's only drawn two shooting fouls. Like, Herb Jones has the ability to single-handedly shut Fox down, or at least slow him down enough where a lot of other teams don't have that one-on-one defender who can do that to Fox. You see it a lot with, like, Lu Dort. He has that same type of ability. So them having that type of defender that they can put on him is just so one of the reasons, one of the many reasons that I think that they're such a bad matchup for the Kings. And especially with Monk out, they don't have that other player who can really drive and get to the basket. We saw Davion do that really well against the Warriors. So if he can come in and do that same type of driving and kicking or get to the rim, that'd be great. But that, along with Valanciunas being able to guard Sabonis one-on-one, really makes them match up well defensively against the Kings.
Yeah. And they've got those type of horses. One thing that I would try to do, and once again, it gets back to CJ. I really make CJ work. Keon has shown the ability to run some pick and roll action with Domas Sabonis. I would exploit that a little bit more. You know, this, because I'm assuming CJ's going to be guarding Keon Ellis in that case. If they try to put him on Keegan Murray, all right, we're going to do a bunch of DHOs with Sabonis and Keegan Murray. But I'm making CJ, I'm making him work his ass off the entire game. You know, offensively and defensively. I'm trying to wear him down. And he's still a great player. He could still play really well. But you want to try and not let him be comfortable out there on both sides of the floor. So that's something I would look at for the Kings offense.
Yeah, and looking at just the last game, Keon was guarded by McCollum. And Keon, when guarded by him, only took one shot. It was a three. He missed it. So be a little more intentional, like you were saying, against that matchup and get away from Herb Jones, either that or get Fox in some pick and roll action, try and get Herb off of him and maybe put CJ in that action to try and get that switch. I don't remember if the Pelicans switch or not on screens. I'd have to go back and look, but definitely look for the better matchups when you have them.
Were you able to, I obviously have a very different process than you do. I was just looking at box scores and going through this like, man, CJ went nuts in a couple of games. Zion had his moments. Ingram had his moments. Trey Murphy had a moment at the Golden 1 Center. It feels like there's a lot of guys in Pelicans uniforms who play really well versus Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Is that a comfort level? Is that just we can dominate this team? Any guy could cook. We saw Dyson Daniels have a nice game. Like, I don't mean that as a shot. Jose Alvarado is not known as a big time scorer. He scored, you know, a ton of points. Is that a product of the confidence of the Pelicans, or is there something the Kings are missing defensively?
I don't know. Maybe both. I want to pull up what they're averaging in terms of wide open threes. Against the
Kings. Oh boy, Kenny Caraway numbers. Here we go.
You know it.
Here we go. Kenny Caraway numbers.
You know I like that,
but yeah, I mean, the last game when Alvarado had the ball where he tracked down in the corner, he was like a one man fast break, and he shot like a fadeaway.
Yeah,
in the corner was just a like heartbreaking.
They hit 22 threes in that game.
That was crazy. And they hit 22 and they shot like 55% from three.
Yes, 55%. Yeah, they were 20 and 40.
Man, that's
they right, shot 54% the game before that.
Mm-hmm. That was the one in Sacramento that they won by 30 or so. I think CJ had 30 in that game.
33 to be exact, but whatever.
All right. So against the Kings, 19.8 wide open threes. Per game, they make 9.2 of them. That's 46.5%. On the season, they take 18.6. So a little bit of a difference, not too much, 40%. So you see the number jump up just slightly and the percentage jump up. So maybe that's comfortability. Maybe it's the fact that, I don't know, the Kings were, especially early on, I don't think as much anymore, but they were kind of forced into double teaming, that the Pelicans just get good looks because of the Kings' defensive strategy guarding Zion and Ingram. So I don't know. That's my theory. I don't really have anything to prove it, but.
And I got the game on right in front of me in the first play of the game. This last one on Thursday, or a couple Thursdays ago, was a dump down to Valanciunas with Harrison Barnes guarding him. Keon has to leave CJ for the double team. Now, Valanciunas ended up shooting the ball and didn't kick it out to CJ or whatever. But, like, that's why it kind of changes things with Zion out, because that's problematic. That when I say, like, let Valanciunas score or whatever, that's with the right matchup, right? That's with him going up against Sabonis. And if they want to go one-on-one with that all day, cool. I can't have him going up against Harrison Barnes. And now with no Zion, you can match up more traditionally. Mm-hmm. You can put Sabonis on Valanciunas and let that be a one-on-one matchup and stay home on the shooters. And I'm all for that, for the at least at the very least the opening strategy. You know what I mean? You always have plan B and C, and if they adjust, you make your adjustments. But with Zion not being there, because I say all that because Sabonis was guarding Zion to start the game last time. That's how Valanciunas got Harrison on him. Now you can have just the traditional, all right, the big mans are going. I got a wing that'll go up against this wing and everything else that you're trying to do. So it puts everything back into its proper spot, I think.
I agree. I think the other big thing will be the possession battle. Mike Brown's been talking about it like nonstop.
Yeah.
So the two main things, the Kings getting steals, and then on the other end, getting offensive rebounds. They did both of those so well against the Warriors. Mm-hmm. And I think 40 points came from either steals, either like points off turnovers or second chance points, which if you're winning that possession battle, you're not only getting more shot attempts, but you're going always playoff tacos. You're getting looks against the Pelicans defense when they're not set. So in transition, the Pelicans aren't going to be set in defense, and on offensive rebounds, you have everyone scrambling a little. So you have a better chance, I think, of scoring against them, because the Pelicans, it's not like Zion is their main defender. He's great in that help defense, but he's not the one kind of leading their defense. So they're still going to have that great defensive ability, even without Zion out there. So get as many good, easy looks as possible.
That's Herb Jones.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy. He's their lead defender. He's the one who kind of is the hub on the defensive end.
Yeah, and then Valanciunas in the middle does a great job. Again, kind of like Sabonis, just vertical contest, just big body in there. That he's not going to block a ton of shots, but he's going to make life difficult inside.
I know we just said this. I need Domas to have a moment.
Yep.
Because Valanciunas is one of those guys who it's like, and it's not like the Kevon Looney where, you know, Looney has a series against him on a big stage or whatever. Mm-hmm. Valanciunas is a big, physical, nasty dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and those, like, that's a tough matchup for Domas, because he's one of less than a handful of guys in the entire league that can match physical strength with him.
Yeah.
And we see how hard Domas has to work when they play each other. I want Domas to have a moment.
Yeah.
Have a moment against Valanciunas.
Let him and the whole world know you here. Absolutely. Another thing that that I want to see from this team and to be aware of, and, you know, it's maybe on Mike, or, you know, it's on the players first, but maybe on Mike as well. The story of a lot of these games, not taking anything away from the Pelicans winning and dominating the way they do, but there's been some crazy runs, right? I think in the game, the most recently, it was a relatively close game, like a 4, 5, 6-point game, and then the Pelicans go on a 17-0 run.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Kings battle back, get it closer, whatever, and then I think they start off the fourth quarter, the Pelicans do, with like a 13-0 run or something like that. I remember the same thing happened in the game at the Golden 1 Center when they beat the brakes off them by 33. The play-in or the in-season tournament game. I think the Kings were winning that game in the first half. And then the Pelicans go on this run to separate themselves in the second quarter. You got to eliminate the runs one way or another, whether that's answering with the score, whether that's calling the timeouts, whatever you have to do. You got to make sure we don't see any 10, 12, 13-0 runs in this game to keep yourself close.
Yeah, was the Pelicans game the game where Mike Brown burned through like all of his timeouts? In, I remember there he had like two timeouts left with like 8 minutes to go or something like that.
The most recent to try and Pelicans stop game? Those
runs. I think so.
Okay.
To try and stop the runs. So I'll be interested to see how quick he is with those timeouts if the same type of situation like you were just saying comes up.
Yeah, the Pelicans outscored the Kings in the first quarter 34-23, Will, so that checks out a little bit. That could have been
that makes sense.
That could have been that game. I know it's a little early. Do we got a swing stat for tomorrow?
Not one set in stone yet. I think it might be second chance points. I think that's how the Kings are going to win this game. Again, I still get nervous about their ability to score. So I think they need as many shot opportunities as possible. And what made me so happy about the game against the Warriors was that the Kings had, I forget the number, but a bunch of offensive rebounds, something like 16 or so. And Sabonis had 2. So it was the entire team was getting on the offensive board. So you can tell that Mike Brown is putting emphasis on that. And that the whole team is buying into that concept to try and go get those offensive rebounds. So a similar type of approach, I think, would go a long way against the Pelicans.
Kings lost the second chance points battles in every game but the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the last one, what was it, Will? Like 11-7? Yeah, the Kings won that battle 11-7. They got ripped apart in a couple of them.
Mm.
And I don't think they've had a single game with 10-plus steals against the Pelicans. So the kind of duo of those two will be key. So maybe it'll be a combo swing stat.
Man, it feels like the Pelicans really capitalize off of turnovers, too. Like if the Kings turn the ball over, the Clippers are going to score. Or the Clippers, excuse me. The Pelicans are going to score off of it.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, you go into this game and you go into that locker room if you're one of the players or if you're – Mike Brown, and you'd be like, you know, I don't know, something symbolic, like hold up the plate, the sheet, you rip it in half.
Because
that everything don't matter. Everything that we talk about, everything that
it only matters in your down, film sessions.
That's it.
It don't
that's
matter it. When you take the floor.
Yep. None of that comes with you. And that's what this team has to be thinking about. Like, you've got an opportunity tonight to get to the playoffs. And that's all that matters. The 5 games before don't matter at all. So, and I think that's how they will come out to this game. I think that's how they will approach this game as an opportunity against, you know, another good NBA team, not the scary Pelicans who've beaten us 5 times. They're going to look at them and like, it's our time now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Will, great stuff. We'll miss you tomorrow at Sky River. And hopefully, by the time we return, we'll have a whole series to break down.
I'd love nothing more. I'll miss you guys tomorrow. It'll be weird not being there, but I'll be watching from here.
We appreciate you. Thanks, Will.
Appreciate you, Will.
Thanks, guys.
That's our man, Will Z, joining us a day early for a nice little extended conversation about this preview by the numbers as the Sacramento Kings take on the New Orleans Pelicans with the hopes of making the playoffs. When and in.
Yeah, man.
Tomorrow.
Hey, there was two things that I thought was pretty funny. So we got a text message from our guy Kyle Mattson, and I don't know what Ryan Russillo was on, maybe his own show, maybe on Bill Simmons, I don't know. But he used the analogy. He said the Kings beating the Warriors and essentially ending their dynasty was like Kindred shooting Omar in The Wire.
Yeah, that's a little cap.
It is a little cap, but
Kendrick came out of nowhere. Sort of. Well, sort of. He came
sort out of. Nowhere. But I laugh at that because do you remember what I kept the analogy I kept using last year during the playoffs?
Yeah, they're Omar. The Warriors were Omar.
And I kept saying, that's Omar? Mm-hmm. Remember, that was mm-hmm. Kendrick's line.
Yeah. they
finally got him.
That's Omar?
That's Omar? That's the guy y'all scared of? Mm-hmm. That him? That's Omar?
That's when we were up 2-0.
Well, it might even been 1-0.
I think it was.
I don't even think game one was over, actually.
I think it was 1-0. I think it all, no. Game one was over. That was a stressful situation. Game one was stressful.
The other thing that I wanted to talk about, we won't get a chance to talk about this tomorrow. It'll be old news pretty much by the time I see you on Monday, and hopefully we got some playoffs to talk about. We got a game one to recap, hopefully, on Monday.
Man, that's the craziest thing, too, is if the Kings win tomorrow, game one is Sunday.
Yeah, so hopefully that's the case. But did you see that information on the Intuit Dome that came out?
No.
So the Clippers have introduced their ultimate wall pass. Remember, like, they're
talked like
the
about that
with the wall.
Yeah.
And they're providing.
Have to be a Clippers fan to sit there.
Yeah. $1,300 for season tickets for that, for all 41 home games. It's get there when no assigned seating. So get there.
Southwest.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get there and you can sit anywhere as close as row 3.
Fascinating.
It's about $31 a game, $32 about, maybe around
that. That is incredible.
Crazy. That is crazy. $1,300 for all 41 home games, and it's get there in open seating after the first
two
rows.
Have those things become available yet?
I think that's kind of why this came out, is they might have sent this out to, you know, the emails of the season. I don't know.
But I was going to say, there's no way those last longer than, like, those things will be gone.
Yeah. That is... That's
and did
crazy.
did we cover this? Like, can you not, like, resell those? Like,
yeah, they're supposed to have some type of system where,
like, an it's got to be another system or something.
Yeah, it's got to be another verified user or something like that. The other,
maybe they sell it for you.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, the other thing they have on here is and I don't know how this is going to work, but they have a. You can make a sit with a friend reservation. So if me and you are going, but, you know, we're just first come, first serve.
Everybody knows you don't sit with me.
That's not true.
When's the last time you sat next to Damian at a Kings game?
The last time we were there at the same time.
That might be true.
When's the last time you sat next to Damian at a Kings game, like, while he was leaving? Because you're on courtside. Like, you do leave him. Like, do you stick with him or do you, like, ditch him early on?
No. We stay the whole time. When he's there, I'm where he's at. We watch the game. And then he leaves, and then I'm left to my own vices.
Girl.
Start wandering
Casey
a little
put
bit.
In the car. Yeah, Damian finally left. Where's the seat at?
That's what it is. I saw IG on Tuesday night, and I was like, man, there is no happier dude in the world that I didn't go to the game on Tuesday. My man was very, very excited. I didn't go.
That is not true. That is not true. I was just sitting up there, me and Sarah watching the game mm-hmm. for the first quarter. Then she had to go do some TV stuff, and I was just there watching the game mm-hmm. by myself. And then what happens is at halftime, that's when I take my lap and I start seeing people that I know. Okay. And then I'm like, "Well, what's up, big dog? How you doing, man?" Saw the boss. Saw both of the bosses. Mm-hmm. Saw Kim. Saw a couple other people. "Well, what's up, man? What you doing? Where you at?" "Oh, I'm over here." "Oh, hey, come." Come chill with me. All right, let's have a drink, man. And then the game just starts, and then I'm watching the game.
You just happen to be right next to Mike Brown.
Hey, imagine you're sitting at that Clippers wall, though, and it's like, "Oh, yeah, a friend made a seat reservation with you. It's Steve Ballmer." Legs cashed.
Your thighs will be in for it that game, buddy.
Well, that's a shoot. That's a shoot.
Oh, man.
That's pretty dope.
But I saw that. I've like reread it like 4 times. Like $1,300 for essentially season tickets? That's crazy.
That's fire.
Yeah.
That's fire.
And then the open seating on the wall and all that other stuff. So, yeah. Shout out to Steve Ballmer. Not sure if it'll matter, but shout out to him.
I think it'll create like a different atmosphere at NBA games too. Like if they get it right, because it's kind of like they're doing like a soccer mm-hmm. atmosphere type or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like if they get it right, I think it'll be dope.
The crazy thing about it though is, and the unfortunate thing is, and I think there's more of a Clippers fan base than people kind of give them credit for. Like, there are, like, real Clipper fans out there. But it's still the Clippers, right? Like, you could see the absolute benefit for something like this if, say, Vivek had done something like this. The wall in Sacramento with those prices, come on, man. It would be crazy. I don't know if we're going to see the full benefit of it.
Well, there's a lot of casuals. Right. Maybe you can get them over that way because it's like we pay this little price or whatever. Well, we can sit as close as we want.
Yeah, let's not discount the net worth of the respective owners as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a factor. If you're willing to, you know, sell tickets for $1,300 or something along those lines, you're sacrificing. Like especially, do we know the exact number of people?
You know what? I don't. But looking at that wall, it's literally a number. Whole wall the arena.
Like, you're sacrificing.
It looks like, I just throw it out there, maybe 5,000 people.
You have to be comfortable losing that revenue.
Yeah.
And not every owner can do that.
Yeah.
Ballmer, Steve Ballmer can.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, maybe it's one of those things. Also, like, Steve Ballmer's not an idiot either.
Right.
They've also probably run projections like, at these prices, these tickets are never, ever, 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 ever going to be available.
Mm-hmm.
So take this number and multiply it by 30. If this team is terrible for 10 years, those tickets are always going to be sold. They probably have run some projections to say, in 25 years, it makes up the difference or something like that. I have no idea.
For sure. And, you know, in that situation, in that city, you know, you might be looking at like, man, I got to do something drastic to get people on here. Like, you know, I might have to, and that's not exactly what he's doing, but almost to a certain degree, I might have to give these tickets away just to get people in the building, get the Clippers in their lives, you know, something to get us on. Get us on people's, you know, radar, or to get them on our side, and
to get them out here where they might be scared of what's across the street.
Yeah, well, they ain't scared no more. Not over there.
Well, they might not always know.
that's looking like Rockland.
Is it the new Brooklyn?
Yes. Called Iwood. It's not Inglewood. It's called
Iwood. When I first went to Brooklyn, I was like, this is Brooklyn? No, sweetheart. The Brooklyn you're thinking of is that way. This is the new Brooklyn. Yeah. Got it.
Now, don't get it twisted. There's still some Inglewood and Iwood. don't get it twisted.
Wait, is that a shoot? They call it Iwood?
I'd say that because that's what they did on Insecure one time. Issa was down there and, like, they built this little coffee shop. She's like, welcome to Iwood.
Yeah.
And she said, where are we? She said, Iwood. Issa was just like flabbergasted after that.
That's when the coffee shop on the corner of Oak Park was Starbucks. This is Oak Park.
Right.
No.
So, but there's definitely still some Inglewood and Iwood if you make the wrong turn, but it ain't going to be by that arena. I know that much.
I don't know how much of a difference would make, like, money and stuff like that, and him making his money back, but they'll have, like, standing room for that little section, for that wall, too. It's not just seats.
Yeah, I think a lot.
It's basically saying, if you show up late, like, for that wall or whatever, you're just going to have to stand.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how many people will be letting for that.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, really, that blew my mind when I saw that. And just how he's orchestrating this arena is also fascinating to me as well.
Is there a Bruno Mars wall?
There will be, probably. I'll sit up there for Bruno's concert.
I would too. Yeah. Bruno goes. Yeah. When's that open? When's that show?
I think it's August 15th, 16th, something like that.
That's what I saw about Bruno Mars, the old MGM or someone, like 30 mil, one of those casinos.
I don't think that's real.
No?
I don't think so either.
No.
I got Chatty House then.
Yeah.
No, I was like, he's in deep.
No, it was out there. Yeah. It was out there. It wasn't from like a rep. I don't think it's real.
Okay.
I think people were just talking.
They were saying he's gonna have to do shows to pay off his credits. I'm like, oh my gosh, Bruno Mars.
MGM was like, yeah, that's not true. That's not true.
Yeah. So yeah, man. That caught my eye when I saw that. But
that's dope.
It also just made me think of, like, man, people are. I'm a big, you know, I'm biased, but people out here searching for that. for that Golden One feel. I'm not saying Golden One is like the best fans in the world, but you know, I think it is. But man, that energy. They had people tweeting about it after the playing game. I think you see your boy Steve Levy was like, I've never been to a game in Sacramento. Yeah. I might have to go.
Yeah. Well, we read Julie's threads.
Julie definitely let us know. It is 10 times better than that sterile dental office.
You know what we didn't talk about? We could talk more about this tomorrow. There's two things we should touch on. One, I don't think we'll elaborate on. This one we can. Did you, and there was no reason for you to, did you watch any of the Hawks yesterday?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. Oh, yeah, I tweeted about it. Trey looked like he was done.
Oh, he's through. Trey was
finished.
He looked like he was just trying to get that game over
with.
I was
surprised to see that.
Yeah, that was bad.
That feels like the worst kept secret that he's leaving.
It looked like Delonte West slept with his mom.
Oh, man.
It was one of them games where you're left trying to figure out what the hell just happened.
Yeah. DeJounte got mad at him at the end of the first quarter. Or no, it was the half, maybe. Maybe it was the end of the half. Because, Trey, did you see that play when DeJounte got mad? So, it's the quarter of the half. I can't remember, but it's winding down.
I think I did.
They trap Trey at the top of the key. And he's just kind of dribbling, and they trap him. And he throws a behind-the-back pass to an open DeJounte. But it's just a bad behind-the-back pass.
Yeah.
DeJounte has to, like, reach to control it. Yeah. The defense recovers. He's stuck, can't get a shot off. And he looks at Trey like, what the hell are you doing? Like, starts throwing Trey and Boys in the Hood, fist pumps and all this stuff. Like, he was hot. He was hot. And Trey Young is just walking back. Dum-de-doo-de-dum-de. He's done with him. He's done with him. But, I mean, that would be a good – I still believe in his talent. I think that situation has just gone bad, which isn't a good look on him with how he's handled himself. But if he got to San Antonio, I think, that'd be an interesting pairing, him and Wimby.
I'm watching a series of Trae Young lowlights from last night.
Oh,
goodness gracious.
How long is that video? About 7 minutes?
Well, no, there's just various different clips.
Yeah. It was.
He was so disinterested in that game. And it's not like Atlanta was getting blown out in the first half.
No.
Like, he just looked like he did not care.
They found a way to come back, thanks really to DeJounte. They found a way to come back and make it close. And it was a game in the third quarter. And then their guy who was supposed to be their best player just made it clear. I don't want to be here. I want this to be over. Keisha Cole, I just want it to be over.
Okay, so I did see this play. I didn't catch him like look at Trey. Because DeJounte's walking away from him. I thought, like the way you described, I thought they were like facing each other. Like, no, DeJounte's walking away from
him. Yeah, the initial thing is like, Trey, what the hell are you doing? And then he walks straight to compose himself a little bit. Yeah, he was done with that guy.
He threw that pass. There's three Hawks on, or three Bulls on DeJounte Murray. That's crazy. Wow. I don't know. Trey, that doesn't feel like a San Antonio Spurs player.
I know, but that's where he's been linked a lot too.
Yeah,
and I don't know exactly how this works, but I kind of pushing for that to happen. It's one less place for Malik to go.
Yeah,
just like Orlando.
We'll get Trey to San Antonio. Clay to we'll get Clay to Detroit. You want to get paid? Go to Detroit. Clay, okay. Get paid there.
D'Angelo to Orlando. Then?
Yes, there we go.
Now
LA's gonna blame someone when they flame out in the playoffs.
Now
D'Lo,
all of a
it's
sudden,
gonna be you, pal.
Malik's getting $5 million a year.
This agent stuff is easy, bro.
Oh,
get that man Malik paid and get him in here.
Do that. Mm-hmm. Real quick, we have
San Antonio was celebrating last night. I'm seeing some Spurs fans tweets.
Oh, they want him?
Oh, yeah.
I'd want him too.
After watching that, I wouldn't.
I know. I understand. But you got to understand the situation. It's over. Man. They probably told him we're trading you.
Nah, they didn't tell him that.
You sure act like he knows.
Well, he did. Well, because it might not be up to them. Might not be up to them.
Yeah. Well, I say he told them, or they might have said something, because he seemed like, I'm done with these guys. They don't want, that's what it looked like. They don't want nothing to do with me. I'm done with these guys. Once again, not the way you're supposed to handle it, but.
I just don't like him as a ball player. We've been over the numbers. Like, yeah. I get it. I just don't like him as a ball player.
Three coaches, right?
Yeah.
Does that stuff matter at all now? Like, is it kind of, it should. Maybe it was on Trey, but.
Yeah, it should. It should.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think Bulls are beating the Heat, by the way.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
You think, you said who?
Bulls beating the Heat tomorrow.
I think you might be right. Mm.
Jimmy's out for a few weeks. I don't even know if Terry Rozier's playing tomorrow.
Terry Rozier's out.
He's out?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Bulls are beating the Heat tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tyler Hero's shot selection wasn't the best at the end. They got lit up by Nicholas Batum. What you think DeMar DeRozan and Kobe White going to do to him?
Tyler Hero somewhere thinking, y'all need me now. Y'all need me now.
Honestly, Nick Batum lighting it up yesterday was bad for both teams.
That's pretty wild.
Even for the Sixers, like, this is what it comes
what it
to.
Comes down to. This is what you need. Yeah, Nick's going to get them.
I'm thinking Nick's Boston in the conference finals.
That's going to be crazy if that happens.
Why?
Because the energy going to be crazy. New York, Boston, always crazy.
Fake rivalry.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah, because the Knicks and Boston have been toe-to-toe forever.
As Damon said, that's cute. That's cute how they say that. Because he says it's a fake rivalry, like Yankees-Red Sox.
As far as I'm concerned, bro, like Red Sox have four World Series titles.
Oh,
Yankees have one and all.
Look at them. No, no. See,
as far as I'm concerned, yeah, that's been one-sided for the last however many years as well. So,
oh, just forget the other 90. Okay.
Sorry, Grandpa. I wasn't around.
Sorry,
Grandpa. Wow. Man called you Grandpa.
Oh, man.
Oh, I got to listen to this clip from Anthony Slater.
What is he talking about?
4 minutes of Kerr on Draymond and why the Warriors continue to back him. I got to hear every bit of that 4 minutes.
Oh, man.
We hope to see you tomorrow at 32 Brew Street inside Sky River Casino. Come through. Hang out with us, man. We are going to have a great time as we do it every single one of our live shows beginning at 12 o'clock. Again, 32 Brew Street inside Sky River Casino beginning tomorrow here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, gigantes.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.